Blog Talk Radio.
From the deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, the SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio present Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover with us the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we discover his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. Welcome to Wild World and this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio. As we've endured in the month of March, we cannot believe it. Snow. The roads were actually treacherous to drive on last night. Can't believe it, but it looks like all the snow has melted. I'll have to check in from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, who I understand also had a little bit of the white stuff, the honorable, distinguished, and always on time, Dr. Henry Day. Good afternoon, Doc.
Good afternoon, Mr. Batson. Yes, we did have some white stuff covering the ground yesterday. Quite lovely. Yeah, we probably got about 2 inches here in Indianapolis on our side of town.
Well, I don't know how much we got here, but it wasn't fun to manipulate these highways in rural Putnam County. I'll tell you that right now. It was exciting.
Yeah, and you have a quite large, I would call it a ski hill that is your driveway.
Well, it is, but you know, God loved the trees. They prevented the snow landing on the driveway, so what we had feared coming home would be a problem to go up, it turned out wasn't so bad after all.
That's good.
Yeah, okay. So are you ready, Dr. Day?
As always.
All right.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is March the 31st. April is almost here. Yes, tomorrow is April Fool's Day.
Oh, we're already having an April Fool's joke. I'm sorry.
You know, April showers bring May flowers. And you know what May flowers bring?
I have no idea.
Pilgrims.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. That brings me to our... Let me go ahead and announce our guest today. He may have already hung up after that.
Yeah.
But tropical fish expert David Herring, my friend since I was in high school, is going to be our guest today. We're going to talk fish. We're going to talk music. And Dr. Day, we might even get a conversation in this afternoon if we have an opportunity about Bigfoot. So who knows?
Wow, sounds like a great show.
Well, okay, we're ready.
All right, well, we've been following this story for the last couple of weeks, heading off to Nashville, Tennessee. Now, Neron, Nashville Zoo's first clouded leopard born from artificial insemination, gave birth this past Sunday to two cubs.
Isn't that great?
That is wonderful. Because as we know, they are in danger. Quite beautiful creatures. It would be awful to lose them from the wild.
That's right.
So we're doing what we can to keep the population going.
We're trying to help.
Excuse me?
I said we're trying to help.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they're doing a great job there in Nashville.
Yes,
now, it's not only is it not safe to go into the water, but you have to watch where you step. Brigantine, New Jersey. Now, wildlife authorities say dozens of spiny dogfish sharks have washed up on the beaches there in southern New Jersey over this last weekend. Ouch.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not sure what's happened or why it's happening, but they're checking into it.
Well, you know, we have a fish expert on our show today. Well, maybe we should ask David about the dogfish shark and what's happening here.
Please, Dave.
Please, share your knowledge.
I have no clue about a dogfish shark. I'm
strictly a freshwater man.
Okay. Oh, well. You should have just made up something. Wine's allowed on the show.
I could have.
Okay.
There's a lot of species of sharks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you don't want to step on this one. All right, off to Stanford, Kansas. Now a flock of rare whooping cranes is delighting visitors at the Quivira National Wildlife Refuge there during a migration pit stop. Yeah, people were reporting flying objects. They didn't know what they were. They were whooping cranes.
Ooh, that's a big flying object.
It is. Now, why is this still going on? Little Rock, Arkansas, the Food and Drug Administration must halt all primate experimentation at a lab in the state until allegations of negligence and abuse are properly addressed.
Well, they're going to find abuse because people have no concept how these primates are tortured. Well, all animals are tortured in these medical labs. So that'll happen. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, that's a big problem there. That's the Food and Drug Administration we're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
It's not going to work out well.
Nope.
All right, this sounds like a bad sci-fi movie. Yes, in fact, it was on today, the movie Frogs, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. The suburb of Palm Beach Gardens is being plagued by thousands of poisonous frogs.
Oh.
Yeah, now experts say the amphibians are bufo toads, and you're familiar with those, and they're also known as cane toads.
Right.
And under no circumstance, do not put them in your mouth.
Well, that's what happens in Florida, where they're now native, of course, and dogs will see these big toads hopping up across the yard, and they'll pick them, and they'll kill them. And and you know, Dr. Day, that there was a time, and I remember reading that article, where the young people were actually chewing on these marine toads because they said it gave them some sort of psychedelic high.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah, that was in the 70s and the 80s. And the problem is I live with these toads when I lived in Panama. Mm. And when they would become alarmed, they would secrete this yellow pus out their backs. I'd have no desire to lick one. No. No, thank you.
No. Well, that yellow pus is the venom. But here's the thing. I don't understand with these young people, the little whippersnappers. What happens usually when you pick up a toad?
Well, they normally pee.
Right. So if you pop one of those toads in your mouth, you know, you got a 50-50 chance of either getting venom or urine.
Yeah. Now, do you want to take that chance? Now, do you?
No, I don't.
I don't.
I don't want to take such a chance.
That's okay for me, thank you.
Can
All
I
right,
throw
then.
In something?
Yes, you may.
Those Buffalo Marina toads in Florida, when they happen to flop into one of the fish ponds that these breeders use for tropical fish, everything ends up dead in 10 or 12 hours.
Wow.
So they have to keep them out of their ponds.
I wonder do they build toad fences around these ponds, David?
Yeah, they do that, and then some of the fish farmers will use burial crypts, which are just concrete square burial deals where, you know, you put a vault in, and they can't get in those. It's up off the ground.
Sure.
But otherwise, between the birds and the imported toads, you can lose a lot of money in the fish business real quick.
Yeah. You know, I remember once, David, going on a tour down one of those fish pond places, wholesalers in Florida, and there was a young man that worked there. His name was Renee. And
yeah.
he was showing us the different ponds, and he noticed a small toad hopping along the ground, and he picked it up and showed all of us folks from Indiana that they are also a tasty little treat.
Oh, boy.
He popped that in his mouth and started chewing, Dr. Day.
Good thing it wasn't a toad.
It was a toad. It wasn't a marine toad, but it was a regular. Yeah. Well, it still. Okay,
well,
Doc.
Do you remember the Monty Python skit, chocolate-covered toads? They were complaining that they were crunchy. These chocolate treats were crunchy, and it was because they left the bones in. They wouldn't be crunchy if they didn't have bones now, would they?
Hadn't thought of that.
All right, on with the Wild World News. Durham, North Carolina. A panel of top scientists have concluded the endangered red wolf in the southwest there is a species unto itself. They've been wondering about this for years.
Mm. Well, I've seen cubs, and they do look an awful lot like timber wolves. It'd be easy to confuse them, I'll tell you that right now. In fact, when we took those four wolves out to do the Johnny Carson show, I saw some pictures of them here recently from that appearance, and they look like red wolves. Of course, I know they weren't because we rescued them out of a park in Wisconsin, and they were timber wolves, but they look like red wolves as cubs.
Well, well, now they know. The scientists are pretty excited about that. All right, off to Ashland, Wisconsin. Here's a good story. Two sheriff's deputies rescued a pair of bear cubs trapped in a flooded culvert that had served as their den. Now, Ashland County deputies Zach Pierce and Dylan Wigner discovered the baby Bruins Friday near the Bad River Indian Reservation. They were rescued. They're nursing them. They're doing fine.
Cool. Great news.
Yep. All right, now
that's
for
nice...
our listeners, excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, that's a nice story, Dr. Day. You get 2 points for that one.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're
baby
welcome.
Bears. How are your
baby bears? Well, they're starting to eat once again. The weather's changed, and they're looking for food. So we were off for about a month. So they're back to feeding.
Well, that's good and bad.
Well, I'll tell you right now, anyone that would like to help feed the bears, please send check or money order to Larry Batson, Batson, 4140 North, 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana, 46135. Because they eat lots of dog food, and we appreciate your donations.
And everyone who donates, they will get fertilizer from the same animal sent back to them.
It is a wonderful fertilizer for one's garden. So thank you, Dr. Day. We'll do that. We can ship that. That's not a problem.
Okay.
All right.
Now for our listeners in Seattle, Washington, the orca is okay. Several months after researchers feared the worst for an ailing Puget Sound orca, the whale known as J7, has just been spotted. And is in improved condition and doing fine. So
fantastic.
Stop calling me. J7 is doing fine. All right, now here's some old new news. Cheyenne, Wyoming, scientists from the U.S. and Europe hope to learn more on a dig this summer about a promising new dinosaur site in northern Wyoming known as the Jurassic Mile.
Oh,
there are
I heard about that.
Spread. For a mile.
I'd heard about that. Yeah, that's exciting.
That is exciting, and we'll keep our listeners posted. Now, if you have any kids in the room, either turn the sound down or make them leave, because this next story, well, I'm just not sure about it, but we're going to relay it anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Now, listen to this. Frankfort, Kentucky. Governor Matt Bevin has signed a bill that outlaws sex between humans and animals.
Oh my
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my gosh.
It's about
yeah. Now, okay. Well, I hope there are laws like that in every state. I don't know why Kentucky's taken so long, but good job, Governor Matt Blevin.
Well,
all right, local news. Bloomington, Indiana. State wildlife officials say a second type of invasive an Asian carp has reached the waters just downstream of the state's largest reservoir.
Ooh.
Yeah, Asian carp. Yeah, the recent find of bighead carp in Salt Creek just below Lake Monroe's dam comes after the silver carp was found there in 2015 in the dam's tailwaters.
Well, you know, David Herring is also quite the fisherman. Maybe he has some insight on this.
They're running rampant. They're trying to keep them out of the Great Lakes. If they get into the Great Lakes, it's going to be a billion-dollar problem. But they've got a deal set up, I think, in the Illinois River, where they've got a shocking device in the river itself to keep anything from going in. But I think it's just a matter of time before they get in. I mean, they're spread out all over the place. There's probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 different species. I mean, it's not just one. It's a silver carp, a big head carp, a couple others, and they're all bad news. But they aren't too bad to eat.
Oh,
well, that's right. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to teach people about these carp, and they are, you know, if you clean them right, they are very good to eat. And in a lot of places, they'll jump right in your boat.
Well, the vibrations from a propeller on a boat will cause the carp to jump out of the water. So if you're running up a little tributary of the Wabash or the Ohio, you better be ready, because you get a 10-pound carp fly up in your face, it's going to change your day around.
Well, you better have your mouth open to catch that sucker, because they're good to eat.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, it's time for Who's Gotten Older?
Oh, no. Well, Dr. Day is going to instruct our guest, David Herring, on the rules of this godforsaken game we call Who Got Older.
Well, Mr. Herring, the whole idea of the game is I'll give you a celebrity, and you will tell me how older you think they've gotten this past week. Now, Mr. Batson is not crazy about this, because he normally loses.
I hate this game.
So we'll see how it goes. Let's play Who's Gotten Older. Our first celebrity today is singer Diana Ross. How old do you think Diana Ross turned this past week?
Should I have our guest give his answer first, Dr. Day?
Please. Yes, please.
Okay, David, you go ahead.
71.
Oh, my God. Okay. I think she's more like in her 80s. I'll say 81.
Well, Diana Ross turned 75 on Tuesday this past week. So I think David was a little closer on that one. We're going to have to give that one to him.
Jesus.
All right. Walk This Way, Talk This Way, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith.
I'm going to walk this way. Go ahead, David.
68.
Oh, I think he's a little older than that. I'll say he's more like 74.
Well, you tied on that one. Steven Tyler turned 71 Tuesday. You were both 3 points away.
So I went over, though. That means I lost.
All right, house rules. David wins again.
God, I hate this game. Who made these rules?
One of my favorite musician, Eric Clapton, had a birthday this week. How old did Eric turn?
72.
I'll say 75.
Eric turned 74 this past week.
Oh, God, I got one right. I won one. What the hell's that all about? My God.
Lucky guy.
I still hate this game, though. I just despise it.
Cheer up, Larry. You know what they say. Some things in life are bad. Others make you mad. Others can make you swear and curse when you're chewing on life's gristle. Don't grumble. Give a whistle. And this will help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Now, Eric Idle, Honey Python, had a birthday Friday. How did Eric Idle turn?
Eric Idle, 79.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to undercut him. I'll say 72.
Well, you won this one. Eric actually turned 76 on Friday.
Oh. I won that one. Oh, God, what's the deal on that? How'd that happen? All right.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road musician Elton John.
74.
I'm going to change mine. I think I might have gone over a little bit. Is that within the rules, Dr. Day?
Yes, yeah, we'll give you another shot.
I'll go 82.
Well, Elton John actually turned 72 on Monday this past week.
God, I didn't even get in the ballpark. My God. Not even in the ballpark. Jesus.
All right, let's finish this up with, tell me how old you think Lady Gaga turned this past week.
Oh, God. Who cares?
Yeah. 34?
I'll say 27.
Well, Lady Gaga turned 33 on Thursday. I'm afraid that Mr. Herring has won this game, Mr. Batson.
Oh, baby, yeah, right. I'm moving to Kentucky.
Would you tell him his prize, Dr. Day?
Well, it might upset him. We still got a lot of show to go. But, since you won, David, you have to be on the show again.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Just let me know when.
He'll be home. He'll leave home.
That's your punishment. All right, before we do the fact of the day, I want to let everybody know that glam rock band Mott the Hoople is kicking off its first U.S. tour in 45 years. Yeah, they're going to start out in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mott the Hoople.
Well, yeah, I know. And, you know, I almost thought I had Morgan Fisher of Mott the Hoople scheduled for the show, but he backed out because they just finished rehearsals, he told me, and are getting ready to take off here in just, like you said, a few days. And, of course, David and I attended a Mott the Hoople show in downtown Indianapolis, and I used to know the date. I can't remember it now. But I will still say
it was a Halloween show, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. It was a Halloween show. Yeah, we all wore costumes. I'd forgotten that. And it was still one of the best concerts I ever saw. Seen, saw. Whatever.
Ian Hunter,
yeah. I had him scheduled for the show once too, and he's writing his biography, so he wasn't doing any interviews. So maybe in the future.
Yeah. Maybe in the future when that book's ready to come out, he'll be on the show. All right, let's do our fact of the day so we can get David on. The platypus is one of the few living mammals to produce venom. Males have a pair of spurs on their hind limbs that secrete venom that is only active in the breeding season. The venom is not lethal to humans, but it is excruciatingly painful. So, if you run across a platypus, it's mating season, don't pick them up. That's the Wild World News for March 31st.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. All HD, and it sounds absolutely fantastic from Indianapolis. We also want to thank the SRI Label Group. They are underwriters for Wild World Herald on Blog Talk Radio. Check out their site, srirecords.com, an amazing collection of rock, jazz, country, blues. And not only do you have a chance to listen to the recordings and possibly purchase them, but you can actually listen to the entire songs, which is very unusual for these music websites. That's the SRILabelGroup.com. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. David Herring has taken his tropical fish hobby into a business where he raises rare species of African fish and it leases and maintains aquariums for a host of clients, not only authority of exotic fish, but a compassion for music. We also share an interest in the Bigfoot Sasquatch legend. Should be a very interesting edition of Wild World. Welcome David Herring on our show. Hi, Dave.
Good to be here.
Well, it's great to be... Great to be here. Wow. So, we've been buddies since high school. Do you remember why we became friends? Cher said not only no one else liked you, but I don't think that's the reason.
Hey, that was part of it.
Yeah.
It was hard to find friends back in those days.
Yeah, it was.
We had our blue jeans and our black T-shirts, and we didn't do a lot.
Yeah. Well, here's what happened. Here's what made me first come to you and your brother Alan's house, is because we both had a compassion for HO cars, little race car things. Dr. Day.
Oh, yeah.
And I I thought I had the hot setup on my little cars. And I go over to your house, and you had this big track set up, and I put my car on there. And Dr. Day, the herring cars, I got smoked. It was not even. My technology was like backed up 10 years. I didn't have a chance. I mean, it was brutal.
Yeah, it was pretty competitive.
It was.
Billy Schlakey was cheating. We caught Billy Schlakey cheating. He was using some kind of tires that weren't allowed, and he was beating everybody.
Yeah, well, I'd figure. Them Schlakey. We're friends with one of the Schlakeys on Facebook, and Cheryl calls him Slacky. Yeah, Brian.
Probably Brian.
Yeah.
Brian or Daryl.
Yeah, but I said Cheryl.
Listen to this story. Billy was the first one that took us to all the pet shops when we all had two or three aquariums. It was me and Ben Tackett and Billy Schlakey. And we would frequent all the local fish stores for a year or two. And, of course, Billy could drive, so he drove us. You know, so that's how we got started back in the mid-60s.
Yeah. And I think one of the greatest adventures as far as pet shops was a little thing down in Mooresville called Aquatic Acres.
Aquatic Acres, that was always a fun trip to go down there because they had numerous tanks with a lot of things that you couldn't find up here in Indianapolis.
Yeah. And then we went on to work.
That started.
Yeah. No. Then we started to work together, and we worked for many, many years at Speedway Pet Shop, one of the oldest pet shops in Indianapolis on West 16th Street, so... That was an adventure in its own way.
Yes, that was quite an adventure.
And, you know, you gained an interest in fish, and I took an interest in animals because at that time, Dr. Day, they actually sold monkeys in pet shops.
Yep.
Squirrel monkeys, $19.95 for a squirrel monkey.
Yeah,
boy,
and
we looked forward to the shipment coming in. There were six squirrel monkeys in one box, and they were a delightful thing to deal with.
Yeah, because there was not a baby in the bunch. I mean,
no young ones.
Yeah,
have a brain the size of a snail, if that.
Yeah.
And teeth like a puppy.
Yeah. And they would sell them out of comic books. I mean, they'd have the advertisement in comic books. And I can still remember this neighbor that ordered one of these 1999 squirrel monkeys. And it shows up, and there's a little sign on the outside of the box that says, "Here's your brand new baby pet squirrel monkey. He's your buddy, your friend." So the guy reads all this stuff thinking, "Oh, it's my buddy, my friend." He just opens up the box and reaches in. Well, that squirrel monkey latched on and just started chewing. And it's just sad. You look back and now with the situation with importing animals now, but back then it was just no rules at all. It was crazy.
Yep.
I gotta tell you the story about my first aquarium was a 10-gallon aquarium. And I had a very small hole in the back where the heater cord was, and it was probably about an inch square. And it took me about 3 weeks to save up to get a red-tailed shark. And the red-tailed shark, I went and picked it up at Speedway Pet Shop from Mr. Tompelson, the owner of the pet shop, and... You know, I was looking at it about every hour. I was so enthused. I had this, you know, and after about the third hour, it was nowhere to be found. And the next day, I found it dried up on the floor, and I was really upset with that ordeal. because a red-tailed shark back then was a pretty rare thing, and I thought it was a really cool fish. And so the next thing I bought was a newt, a little eastern newt, a little lizard-type creature.
Amphibian.
And it disappeared, too.
Yeah.
And didn't see it for a few days, and I was sitting in my room, and I heard a blood-curdling scream from the kitchen. It was my mom.
Yeah.
And obviously, this newt had gotten out the same little hole that the red-tailed shark got out and was walking across the kitchen floor towards my mom. And, of course, it had grabbed a bunch of lint and dirt on it, and because it was a wet animal, and you know, it was, oh, I'm telling you, I caught it for that.
You were in a little trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
And I imagine. Go ahead, Dr. Day.
When I lived in Panama, we built an aquarium and decided to go over to. We lived on the Pacific side of Panama, and the fish were much more brightly colored on the Atlantic side of Panama. So we went over and I gathered a few fish, and while we were catching our fish, we found a small octopus, and we brought him home and put him in the tank. Well, we never ever found him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even going to start with the things I brought home to my house and escaped, and we never did find. I mean, it was quite the collection, and I can still remember my mother. She was so deathly afraid of snakes, and we had a buddy that lived behind us named Billy Young, who's probably the biggest juvenile delinquent in the entire neighborhood. And he had just gotten back from a trip to Florida flying on a plane, and he had in his pocket for the flight a snake. And
wonderful.
Yeah. And then I can still remember my mother looking out the back window into our backyard, and there was Billy Young playing with the snake, and she was going nuts. And then she got really upset when I told her, oh, no, Billy brought it back on the plane with him. She says, oh, my God. It was brutal, but anyway. And then, of course, David's love for aquariums, if we've already heard about it, I also became interested in aquariums and had several tanks because of David. He was quite an influence on that tropical fish hobby, which he's made into a career, and which is, in fact, I got a couple questions for you, David, from my son in New York City,
sure.
Mark Dunn. He said, what's the largest tank you ever set up?
I didn't set the tank up, but I was the curator of a 25,000-gallon saltwater tank for about 6 years.
Oh, well, that counts. How difficult was that?
Freshwater.
I mean, yeah.
This was a unit built by the owner of Dura Builders, Paul Schupman, and he hired me to be in charge of it, and it was saltwater, and I really got my fill of saltwater after about 6 years of that, and the tank is still running now, and it's on the west side of Indianapolis over by where the old Westlake Drive-In was, and the whole office was built around the aquarium. The aquarium was over 25, something feet in diameter, and it was 7 feet deep on the outside, and it went down to 11 feet in the middle. And you had to go up on top to service the tank. There was a ledge all the way around the tank. Now, I was hoping to convert it to African cichlids, but it never happened. It's still salt, and I'm going to confront the owner, the current owner, and see if he might want to switch over, because I've got enough fish now to fill his tank up.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, your fish room's pretty impressive, the fish that you raise and so forth. Mark, I had a question. He said, do you have a favorite fish?
Yes, I do. My favorite fish is from Lake Tanganyika. It's a Cyphotilapia frontosa.
Mm-hmm.
It's a black and white striped fish. They can live anywhere from, oh, I would say 5 to 15 years. They
wow.
can get up to 13, 14 inches. And they're a mouth-brooding cichlid. They've been spotted as deep as, oh, I don't know, 120, 130 feet, which is remarkable because there's hardly any oxygen that deep. Malawi and Tanganyika are a couple of the deepest lakes in the world. And
mm-hmm.
There's just a big dead zone down there when it gets so deep. But these fish just suspend themselves in open water. And when they're like 30, 40, 50 feet down, when the sun comes through, the color is blue, but
mm-hmm.
they're actually black and white striped. And they're an interesting fish. I use them in a lot of my displays.
Mm-hmm.
They, because of their size, you can't put them in small tanks because they just get too big for small aquariums. They need at least a 4-foot, 5-foot, 6-foot aquarium. But I
wow.
would say that's my favorite fish. And I raise hundreds and hundreds every year.
Well, he also asked, "What do you have a least favorite fish?"
Oh, yeah. My least favorite fish is a fish called a parrot cichlid.
Yeah,
and it is a mutation of a fish. It's a horrible
wow.
mixture of a severum and what else? A red devil. It looks like someone took a cichlid and tried to turn it into a goldfish.
I've awful. Seen them. I've seen
awful.
Them before. Yeah.
And the Oriental fish breeders breed millions of the dang things, and they got them in every color. But you talk about something that's pathetic. I mean, I know people get them and they like them and whatever, but for a fish enthusiast, that's the bottom of the barrel.
Really? Well, I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel
right
so out of touch.
Oh,
yeah, the convict cichlids. And these are all South American cichlids, so you're not a fan of the South American cichlid so much, David?
I am. I like them. I just like the African cichlids better. They got a lot more color. A lot of the central, the convict is a Central American.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Central and American cichlids get really big, and you just can't have the kind of mixture you can have with the African cichlids. You can have a 150-gallon tank full of African cichlids and have 30 different fish in there, whereas if
mm-hmm.
you have a bunch of these big Central American cichlids, maybe four, you know,
wow.
and they kill each other. I mean, there's 2,000 species of African cichlids that have hit the United States. And that's probably way under now. I don't know what the number is now, but that was a lot of them come through Germany. And I'll give the Germans a lot of credit. They like to take a certain species and really enhance the color on it. They do a lot of line breeding on fish and really get some wild colorations on some of these cichlids.
Well, it's pretty impressive. I'll have to bring Dr. Day to your fish room sometime because it's amazing.
I would.
Hey, we're
good. I've got a hatchery back here behind my garage. I've got over 100 individual aquariums in it. I've got radiant heat in the floor, and it's designed to be user friendly. You know, I'm actually going to retire into it here. My son is actually taking over my road work, which would be all
yeah.
my aquariums that are spread out in the medical field and all the other businesses.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be servicing those, and I'm going to be here playing in my fish room.
Good for you. You deserve it.
Yeah. I do
yeah.
after 40 years, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Wild World, our guest. David Herring, as always, our co-host, Dr. Henry Day, on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful. Marvelous, you should care for me. Awful night, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the bells go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging. Sure is mellow, glad that I'm a fella, and I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting. You that I'm thinking of ain't misbehaving, saving my love. Oh, you must take the A train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in all.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
SRI Label Group, of course, the late CEO, Shelley Leibowitz, what a great supporter he was for our wildlife work. And we encourage everyone to check out our wildlife or Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. All animals, all fun. Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. Our guest is David Herring, fish expert. Also, I have to tell you, Dr. Day, he's been kind of my roadie on these Bigfoot trips we've made to speak at different conferences. But we had a pretty good time.
Well, that's something to be pretty excited about. Well, tell us a little bit about your travels.
Well, I will do that, Dr. Day. We were recently at the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Conference over in Ohio, Hocking Hills State Park. That was a beautiful park, wasn't it, David?
Yeah, it sure was fun finding it.
Well, let me explain something, Dr. Day. David Herring drives kind of like a cross between Lloyd Ruby and Spike Gillhausen. And so everywhere you're going, and Jim Herdebees, and wherever you're going, it's rather quickly. And every road to David is a road course that should be taken at optimum speed. So we'd kind of go by the roads I was looking for. So it did take us a little while to find the Hocking Hills Bigfoot Conference, but they had a host of speakers. They had, Jeffrey Thomas, Lyle Blackburn. Oh, and they had the prestigious and so educated Dr. Jeff Meldrum. And then I went up and lied to him for about an hour, and people had exhibits set up. Of course, everyone there was interested in Bigfoot. They all had their own research groups and so forth. And it's kind of like a Star Trek convention, except it's about big hairy guys.
Where are we going this year?
Well, I don't know yet. I haven't been contacted by any of them. I guess I might have. but some of them might be kind of angry at me because after my last talk, I made fun of the Bigfoot people and told them they don't need to wear camouflage into the field against one of the most intelligent animals we know on this planet. So they're not going to sneak in. They'd be better off to wear Hawaiian shirts and be noticeable, and they didn't like it. So,
well, I tell you, they liked you. That you brought the house down. You were by far the most entertaining speaker. I mean, I'm not being prejudiced because you're my friend, but
yeah.
you brought the house down. I mean, those people, they stood up and gave you a hell of a applause. I mean, for 10 minutes. I mean, you know, I think somebody's going to be giving you a call here.
Well, you know what we should do between the three of us? We ought to do our own Bigfoot conference.
I'm in for that.
Yeah, we'll find a location. Yeah. What do you think about that, Dr. Day? Yeah, Dr. Day.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because it would be absolutely amazing. It is fun. It is a good time. You meet some interesting, nice folks, I'm telling you, but all interested in Bigfoot, and they all got a story, and I'm willing to listen to them and take their money when I sell them a DVD or an original print or something like that. I'll take their money. I like it. I like it. We're going to have a new segment on today. I know for many, many years, an assistant to David in the aquarium business has been a long-lost cousin from Kentucky, Benny Cudd. Is Benny Cudd around your fish room today, David?
I think he was out trying to mow the grass, but he couldn't get anything going.
He
had to put gas in that lawnmower. I'll see if I can find him.
Okay, and while you're doing that, Dr. Day, I think for this new segment we will call Rate a Record, that we should contact one of our favorite musicians and the music authorities from the legendary band of the 60s, the Kinks, Dave Davies. Can you make that contact, Dr. Day?
Let me see if Dave's listening today. Dave, are you there?
All right. Okay.
Walked away from the phone for a minute. I had to get a drink of water.
Well, welcome, Dave. We'd like to. We're doing a new segment called Rate a Record, and the other contestant on today's show is our friend of our fish buddy Dave Herring from Kentucky, Benny Cudd. Hi, Benny.
Hi there.
Benny, do you like music?
Yeah, I like music.
Damn, what we would like you to do is we're going to play a particular song, and after we play this song, between Dave, say hi to Benny, Dave.
Hello, Benny. I don't know who the hell you are, but hello.
Hello there. I'm from deep in Kentucky.
Yeah, Dave's from one. How's your hedgehogs, by the way, Dave, while we've got you on the line?
I'm doing fine, except I'm glad you had David Herring on the show today, because my cat got the fish. I have a fish named Raymond.
Yeah?
And the cat got it out of the bowl and knocked it on the floor. It stuck to the back of the hedgehog. Here I'm running around the house trying to catch the hedgehog with some Raymond stuck to his back.
And
you know what else?
What?
You've got a fish guy on your show, and his name is Herring.
That's right. Small, isn't that?
Has he got red hair?
No, he doesn't.
No, well, if he had red hair, we could call him Red Harry.
We could, couldn't we, Dave? Wow, that's brilliant. My God.
Okay, you're going to play us a song?
We're going to play you a song. We want you to rate the record, give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. This comes to us from the SRI Label Group. It features that wonderful artist that we may remember, Tiny Tim.
Come in, take me away. Dancing, baby. away. And I got on my knees and begged you not to leave, because I don't deserve. Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. All the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats.
Oh, I love those white coats.
You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed and laughed when I had said that losing you would make me lift my lid, right? You know you laughed, I heard you laugh, you laughed and laughed and laughed, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind.
Tiny Tim on Blog Talk Radio. And our new special game today featuring Dave Davies, lead guitarist for the Kinks, and our fish buddy from Kentucky, Benny Cudd. So, Dave, what did you think of that selection by Tiny Tim? They're coming to take me away.
I thought, oh, hell no. I'm not going to be swallowed by like a 600-pound grouper.
Well, you know, in other words, you're saying you're not a fan of that recording?
Not a big fan. I'd rather kiss my brother Ray right on the lips.
I see where you're coming. How is Ray, by the way, Dave?
I was doing fine, ugly as ever.
Okay, let's get a little input on that song by Tiny Tim from Benny Cudd. What did you think, Benny?
I think it sounded beautiful. Beautiful. I'd like to get that whole record.
Well, we could do that. We could make that a possibility. So I guess
it's
a 50-50
player.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I think it still works.
Yeah, well, I'll work on that from the SRI label group. So I guess it's a 50-50 thing. Dave, gosh, thank you so much for calling in from England.
Look, love your show. You guys are doing great. That Dr. Day, I love him. He's amazing.
He absolutely is amazing, as well as our good friend, Dave Davies.
Thank you, boys.
No, thank you, Dave.
Girl, you really got...
That's right. So it's always great to hear from Dave Davies, and an extra special plus today was Fishman Benny Cudd. Dave, how long has he been working for you?
32 and a half years.
It's a long time.
Yeah, we tried to keep him back in the woods back here. We don't let him get around too many people.
Yeah.
wasn't Benny Cudd on the Amazing World television show you had years ago?
Yeah.
Well, he was.
He almost got really famous. I mean, he was going to do a fishing show, and I don't know what happened. But he had quite a following.
Well, he did. I think the only thing missing from that fishing show was a storyline. Though we did do a video with him fishing, though, and he was quite the fishing guide too. So it was amazing.
He was, but he kept getting the line caught in his teeth.
Yeah, I know. Well, Dave, it's great. Go ahead.
I remember Benny did need to see the dentist. Yeah, that was one problem he had.
Yeah, a lot of spinach would get hung up in those things. It was kind of embarrassing on TV because I'd have people come up to me and they go, Is he real? Surely you wouldn't let anybody on television with teeth like that. But no, I assured them he was very real. So it was
very real.
Well, David, thank you so much. What a wonderful guest, Dr. Day.
Yeah. Well, like you said, Dave's been a friend for a long, long time, and he knows his stuff. So, Dave, do you have a website?
Yeah, I do. I do.
What is it?
Let me think.
What would that be?
Dave at AfricanAdventureLLC.com.
Oh, well. Well, Dave, thanks a lot. I know you're going to a big show this afternoon. You have to be there in an hour, so we cut you tight. But thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, you're welcome.
Oh.
I'm going to feed my fish, and I'm going to get ready.
Well, we're going to close out a special show with a little Frank Zappa. Right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, David.
Thanks.
Might be moving to Montana soon, just to raise me up a crop of dental floss. Raising it up, waxing it down, in a little white box that I can sell uptown. By myself, I wouldn't have no boss, but I'd be raising my lonely dental floss.
Raising my lonely dental floss.
Well, I just might grow me some beans, but I'd leave the sweet stuff to somebody else. But then, on the other hand, I would keep the wax and melt it down. Pluck some floss and swish it around. I'd have me a crop, and it'd be on top. That's why I'm moving to Montana.
Hi everyone, this is Shelley Newports. You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild Wild World on Wild Talk Radio.